Blog Talk Radio.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on Freedomizer Radio.
Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
All right. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. Anyway, I'm here. We'll go into as much news as I can go over tonight. Your co-host is myself. Your guest is myself. And if you want a call out there, I will take your calls. The number here is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number 1 on your phone. I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. So we got a few things to go over tonight. So, I don't think I grabbed this yet here. I want to see what I grabbed already for today's clips. So, one of the things I wanted to get into early here, that what a bunch of us said about the Nord Stream pipeline and how it was probably the U.S. that did something. At this point, I think with the Baltic pipeline going up, that it's safe to say Russia's not going to collapse their own pipeline so that Europe can get their gas going. I don't think a nation would be willing to severely cripple their finances just to give someone else some props. They had nothing really to gain out of it, and there's a new Baltic pipeline. However, Secretary Blinken had some thoughts that I'll share here.
Did Tony Blinken, our unesteemed Secretary of State, kind of give away the cookies in the cookie jar when he said this the other day? Check this out.
It's a tremendous opportunity to once and for all remove the dependence on Russian energy, and thus to take away from Vladimir Putin the weaponization of energy as a means of advancing his imperial designs. That's very significant, and that offers tremendous strategic opportunity for the years to come. But meanwhile, we're determined to do everything we possibly can to make sure that the consequences of all of this are not borne by citizens in our countries, or for that matter, around the world.
Is Tony Blinken insane having this conversation? The blowing up of a strategic pipeline vital to both Russia and the EU, regardless of your feelings about the war, is an opportunity. Because now we can transition away from the natural gas it transports to a green energy future that doesn't exist? This is double suicide. Let's start a world war to transition to an energy future that literally doesn't exist anywhere close to the capacity to support the global economy. These people are freaking crazy. This is not an opportunity. Why would he say that? You guys know why? Why would he say it? He'd say that because he's winking and nodding at the lefty, crazy AOC cow farting crowd obsessed with moving to the green suicide energy future. It is suicide. We have enough battery power to fuel the world for less than 11 minutes, far less than 11 minutes. And by 2030, the predictions are for that battery power, we wouldn't even be able to power the world for an hour. They want to move to that, meaning we'd all be dead. It's a signal. It's a signal to them. And if we did it, I don't know that, but if we bomb this pipeline, that's a wink and a nod to the lefty crowd they're going to need before the election, if to suggest to them, this was a gift to you. I mean, it is an opportunity. I want to show you how crazy these people are. Here's that nutbag, Michael Bloomberg, who, despite being the mayor of New York and governing over there as a semi-reasonable, not totally insane human being, although his gun stance is just preposterous, Bloomberg has lost his mind and decided to dedicate his life to stupidity and the green suicide agenda. I'm just telling you, folks, these people will do anything to make sure we all die freezing to death because we have no energy. Wall Street Journal, Michael Bloomberg's charitable gift to Donald Trump. What's this article about? He believes in green suicide, Bloomberg, and he's donating millions upon millions of dollars to stop 120 petrochemical projects from moving forward. You thought you were going to be able to fuel your gas tank in the future? Not with people like Michael Bloomberg around and Tony Blinken, who thinks shutting off natural gas to Europe is an opportunity. It is. For thermonuclear annihilation, these are the morons in charge right now. This is why they want Ron DeSantis crushed. God forbid you get real leadership. By the way, libs don't care. Libs don't care about global annihilation. But believe me, we are walking and slow walking right into this. Here's David Petraeus. You remember David Petraeus, former CIA director,
yeah.
Head of ISAF. Had some kind of personal issue. I'm not going to go into that. And Petraeus took kind of a beating reputationally for that. But here's David Petraeus, I think on ABC News. I think it's John Carl he's with. And he's asked a question about what will happen if Vladimir Putin, in response to this Nord Stream pipeline bombing, which Tony Blinken, our Secretary of State, Joe, sees as an opportunity. I can't say that enough. Here's David Petraeus describing if Putin responds with a nuclear detonation, what exactly is going to happen afterwards? And trust me, regardless of your feelings about Petraeus, Petraeus knows what he's talking about. He's familiar with the Republican and Democrat administrations. I'm wondering what exactly he's heard. He's careful to say he hasn't spoken to Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, but it seems like he's kind of read in here on what World War III is going to look like in the coming months if things break bad. Check this out.
We would respond by leading a NATO, a collective effort that would take out every Russian conventional force that we can see and identify on the battlefield in Ukraine and also in Crimea and every ship in the Black Sea fleet.
So it would bring America and NATO into the war. It would be an Article 5 situation, basically.
Not an Article 5 because they're not part of NATO, but it would be a U.S. and NATO response to something that is absolutely...
I mean, the argument is made the radiation would extend into NATO countries. It effectively would be an attack on NATO.
Yeah, and perhaps you can make that case. The other case is that this is so horrific that there has to be a response. It cannot go unanswered, but it doesn't expand. It's not nuclear for nuclear. You don't want to, again, get into a nuclear escalation here, but you have to show that this cannot be accepted in any way.
See how they already have the plan lined out, fellas? Nuclear detonation, nuclear fallout over a NATO country, perceived as an attack on a NATO country. Article 5 is invoked. United States gets involved. Next thing you know, we have conventional bombings of Russian forces in the Black Sea and elsewhere. We have Russia responding with probably a nuclear escalation from there. We have threats against Putin and Putin's leadership. And some other nutbag comes in there. Next thing you know, China's involved, and we have ourselves involved in a global thermonuclear war. Ah, damn, the chances of that are small, probably less than 10%. Really? 10%. Interesting. Would you get on a plane if I told you there was a 10% chance it was going to crash into the sea?
No.
You'd be like, thank you, Joe. You'd be like, hell to the... No, I wouldn't. Why aren't more people talking about this story? Well, if you missed my Fox show Saturday night, I'll give you just a quick recap. The reason more people aren't talking about the now growing by the day increasing threat of global thermonuclear annihilation is because they understand the hapless, helpless Biden administration is doing everything it can to move that prospect along by their pathetic weakness. And before an election, they want to make sure that on top of people's minds when they're thinking about who to vote for, isn't the administration in charge that caused them a potential another Cuban missile crisis. So they're hiding this stuff, making sure you don't see it. If you enjoyed this video, please subscribe to my Clips channel at rumble.com/BonginoClips.
Okay. Oh, this phone's dead already. Okay. All right, so let me get another clip playing real quick here, and I'll swap phones. Oops. Oh, that's not going to work. Hold on here. I got a Russell Brand I can play here.
The Nord Stream pipeline is broken, but who done it and who benefits? Was it the goodies or was it the baddies? And who are the goodies and baddies now? Hello there, you 5.9 million awakening wonders. We teeter on the precipice of 6 million. Subscribe right now. Turn on the notification bell right now as the emergent light continues to illuminate our planet. Remember, we stream live on Rumble every day at these times. It's fantastic. We dive deeper. We have great guests. You will love it. And we upload our videos there first. So join us on Rumble every day. Now, have we got a story for you? So, the Nord Stream 2 pipeline has been sabotaged. NATO suspects it could have been sabotaged. In any event, it's broken. Does anyone in particular benefit? Well, it's possible that you could say that the Russians benefit from this situation because it exacerbates the economic conditions in Europe that are causing immense suffering and soaring energy prices. But there are also reasons to suggest that there could be American involvement. We are certainly not alleging anything on that scale here on this channel. But it is convenient in some ways for both sides that that pipeline is broken. Let's look at the case for Russia doing it. Let's look at the case for America doing it. And then you, using your own intelligence and your God-given mind and your own eyes, decide for yourself what is the most likely course of events that led to the Nord Stream 2 pipeline breaking. I'm not even over Nord Stream 1 breaking. That's my favorite Nord Stream, baby. Let me know what you think in the chat, in the comments, and we'll solve this riddle together, so as we will. First of all, the first piece of evidence I'd like to present you with is Joe Biden in a rare cogent public appearance last February saying this.
Let me answer the first question first.
Yeah, answer the first question first, Joe. Don't just wander off the stage. Answer the first question first. And then make sure, secondly, that you remember which country it is you're talking about.
If Germany, if Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine. Again.
Right, now what you're doing there is you're over-explaining. I think we all know what a war is. We know what the word invade means. Invade? What do you mean by invade? It's because he's forgotten the names of the countries, Germany and Russia. He's over-explaining invade.
Then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
Oh, okay. You'll bring an end to it.
But how will you do that?
Yeah, how? You can't just bring ends to pipelines. I mean, what would you do? There's a pipeline. How'd you bring it into a pipeline? You'd have to do something to the pipeline. What would you do, Joe?
Since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control.
We will, I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
The beginnings of a wry and villainous smile formulating on Biden's face there. Now, before you start asking yourself what occupies agencies like the CIA and FBI and all of the secret agencies around the world, Navy SEALs that do great, brave military work and undercover deep state stuff, before we get into the potential that they could be involved, and this is not something that I'm alleging, I'm just engaging in the possibility of it, let's look at the case for Russia as well. Because we're not saying that Vladimir Putin's like some Mary Poppins, adorable, lovely geezer. He's clearly a bit leery. Let's look at the Russian case for sabotage. Putin's illegal war on Ukraine. That's an illegal war. Is there such a thing as a legal war? Oh, I like this war. This is in the bounds. Like the Iraq war. Nice and legal. Oh, sorry. Bad example. The illegal war in Ukraine resulted in unprecedented Western sanctions against Moscow. But the Russian president is confident these people can endure economic pain longer and better than Europeans. His calculation is that soaring gas prices and the cost of living crisis in a continent hopelessly addicted to Russian energy will turn the situation to his advantage. European gas prices have been dropping for the last 4 days. On Tuesday, after news of the suspected attack, they rose by 20%, the British price was up 33%. That establishes a motive. They could do it for that reason. And Vladimir Putin is a sort of mad barroom brawler, the type of lunatic that would bite off his own finger in a fight to show you how, you think I'm not crazy enough? Oh shit, all right, you win, just don't bite off any more of your digits. The Nord Stream 2 pipeline was filled with 117 million cubic meters of natural gas worth 213 million euros at current prices, but Putin has shown he's willing to sacrifice valuable gas and use it as a weapon. Russia was burning 8.4 million pounds worth of gas a day at a plant near its border with Finland, rather than export it to Europe in August.
I'd rather burn my gas than give it to you. I like the smell of my own gas. Good stuff. I'll do it. I'll fucking do it.
Okay, so that's the case for Russian involvement. We've already seen Joe Biden saying, oh, well,
We can do it. We'll blow up that pipeline. I got ways. I know people in energy companies in Ukraine already. I mean, I don't know anybody. Which way's off the stage? Which way?
Hunter! When Russia invaded Ukraine on February the 24th, Washington was able to get Berlin to suspend the pipeline project that was about to go online, even though it wasn't in Germany's interests. The pipeline has remained closed ever since. Why then did someone attack the pipeline on Monday, releasing the gas it contained into the Baltic Sea? As long as the war continues, the US has what it wants regarding the pipeline. Interesting. It has what it wants. Later, we'll look at if there are any historic statements on this matter that could further point to US involvement. Also, I can't help but think that if this is Russian gas, couldn't they sort of turn it off at the source? I mean, I don't know much about sort of fracking and mining for gas and stuff, but if it's in Russia and it's being piped out under the Baltic Sea, couldn't they just go switch the old gas off? I mean, I know it's not a cooker, but, you know. But ending the war and lifting sanctions would lead to the reopening of Nord Stream 2. 3 weeks ago, President Vladimir Putin told a press conference that Russia was ready to resume supplying natural gas to Germany if Germany lifted its economic sanctions against Russia. Putin said, if they need gas urgently, if things are so bad, just go ahead and lift the sanctions against Nord Stream 2 with its 55 billion cubic meters per year. All they have to do is press the button and they will get it going. Gazprom and Russia have always fulfilled and will fulfill all obligations under our agreements and contracts with no failures ever. I really enjoy this guy's videos. He's brilliant, isn't he? But wouldn't you like even more of him? As you know, we are streaming every day on Rumble at these times. Now, if you are a fan of our podcast, Under the Skin, you've got to become a member of Stay Free AF. That is our community where you get even more fantastic content as a member. We're creating more free content than ever and better paid for content than you could ever imagine. We've already done interviews with Vandana Shiva, Wim Hof, Gabor Mate, Noam Chomsky. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to Donald, Bernie, Elon. I'll give you the surnames once we confirm the interviews. All of these interviews will be available on Stay Free AF, as well as my stand-up special that's going to drop in December, our community film, and opportunities to join me for live events regularly throughout the year. Stay free as fuck. There's a link below to join. Now, before you allege anything as heavy as US sabotage of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, you'd need to know that there was a sort of historic understanding of that event. You'd need to know NATO would act more aggressively in order to enforce imposed sanctions and unify military action against Russia. You'd need to know that historically someone in a position of power had suggested that having North American gas and oil as the primary supplier of European energy was a desirable outcome. You'd have to know that pipelines between Ukraine, Russia and Germany had been under consideration in American foreign policy for some time. Here's Condoleezza Rice in 2014 saying some pretty interesting stuff about pipelines.
But now we need to have tougher sanctions, and I'm afraid at some point this is going to probably have to involve oil and gas.
Oh, this is interesting. Tougher sanctions that involve oil and gas. Keep talking, Condoleezza.
The Russian economy is vulnerable. 80% of Russian exports are in oil, gas, and minerals.
So they're aware of Russian vulnerability back in 2014. Wonder what was going on in Ukraine in 2014, if there were any elections around that time with NATO involvement.
People say, well, the Europeans will run out of energy. Well, the Russians will run out of cash before the Europeans run out of energy.
Yeah, but we're like, we're Europeans. My phone's not working. Sacrebleu! I'm out of croissants. Europeans are not as hard as Russians.
And I understand that it's uncomfortable to have an effect on business ties in this way. But this is one of the few instruments that we have. Over the long run, you simply want to change the structure of energy dependence.
Change the structure of energy dependence? Keep talking, Condoleezza.
You want to depend more on the North American energy platform, the tremendous bounty of oil and gas that we're finding in North America. You want to have pipelines that don't go through Ukraine and Russia.
But there is a pipeline going through. I mean, what would you do about that?
For years, we've tried to get the Europeans to be interested in different pipeline routes. It's time to do that. And so some of this is simply acting, and acting as quickly as possible.
Just good old-fashioned acting. Acting as quickly as possible. So you've just got Joe Biden saying, believe me, we've got ways of stopping that pipeline. And Condoleezza Rice, 10 years ago almost, saying that we want Europe dependent on North American energy. We can't have pipelines. And all of a sudden, there's a little bit of a pipeline issue. Let's look into it a bit further. If momentum grows for a peace deal of any kind, it would ruin Washington's long-term plans to weaken Russia. There's no evidence to suggest that former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson was badgering Zelensky in Ukraine to delay peace terms. Oh, no, there's some evidence that he did, that actually Russia and Ukraine were on the brink of a treaty, then Boris Johnson did go over there. They've named a cake after him now, though.
It's called the Boris Johnson Yuk, and here, it's their bestseller.
If it was Russia that sabotaged this pipeline, and not the US, how would NATO respond? NATO has warned it will retaliate against any attacks on the critical infrastructure of its 30 member states, as it suggested the Nord Stream pipe explosions could be an act of sabotage. The alliance said, all current available information, who's in charge of what information is available, guys, indicates that the damage was the result of deliberate, reckless, and irresponsible acts of sabotage. Any deliberate attack against allies' critical infrastructure would be met with a united and determined response.
Get ready, baby! I'm united! I'm determined!
A peace deal would also mean Nord Stream 2 would reopen, which would help Germany and Russia, but crush US aims at regime change and making Europe dependent on US energy.
Oh! Oh! You think just because America would benefit financially because Europe will be dependent on North American oil, and just because NATO would amp up their military attacks on the Russian region, and because it would prolong this war and create more profits for the military industrial complex, and just because Joe Biden is on camera saying, oh, we'll do it, and Condoleezza Rice 8 years ago was saying, we'll have to do it, we'll have to do it. You thought because of all that, that the US could possibly have been involved in sabotaging the pipeline. We sabotaged that pipeline as a surprise for your birthday, and you've ruined it. All that gas bubbling up, it'll put a smile on your face. Who doesn't like a bubble bath? Even better, a bubbly Baltic Sea. Well, you've spoiled it. You're just like your father.
So there you are. No one can say for sure whether it's Russian sabotage or US sabotage or simply a convenient accident. You can simply ask yourself, who benefits most from this situation? Whose aims are most likely to be met? Is it NATO's? Is it US aims? Does this somehow benefit Russia? I genuinely don't know. I'm not an expert in geopolitics and complex matters of energy distribution or long-term American foreign diplomatic strategy. These are not things that I'm an expert in, but I know you know a lot about it, so let me know in the chat. Let me know in the comments what you think. You're able to decide for yourself. Or a further consideration is if you find censorship around these issues, that too should play into the information that you use when calculating for yourself what is the most likely outcome. Me, personally, I think it's important to remain unbiased, open-minded, and to consider all possibilities. But that's just what I think. Let me know what you think in the comments. Let me know what you think in the chat. Have a look at either of these videos if you enjoyed this one. Sign up to my mailing list right now and watch us every day on Rumble. We stream all day unless someone breaks the pipeline, probably the Russians. I'll do it! I'll fucking do it, man! You can see us there every day at these times. Join us over there. But more important than any of that, please, stay free.
All right, so we're going to just run through a bunch of clips today, and if I have some commentary, great. If not, we'll have commentary if I'm here by myself, to myself, and for myself. We'll get into some discussions tomorrow. I'll play as many clips as I have and keep my talking to a minimum. So I know everybody's here for the co-host normally. So I'll just keep it moving.
All right, last night the Angle explained that the current destruction of our economy, our schools, even our superpower status, well, that is the Democrats' actual intended goal. They've come to despise America, our traditions, our heritage, our history. They have complete disdain for our Constitution and believe our founding was illegitimate because they believe our founders are unabashed racists. Now, the goal is simple, a leveling of the old America in order to create something new, a new order, that gives them all the money and all the power. Since most people won't voluntarily, of course, choose a lower standard of living and less freedom, the left knows that this radical change must be forced on the people. And this is being done through fake emergencies and phony self-generated crises. So they cite climate change to justify the rapid phase-out of gas-powered cars. And, of course, the banning of gas appliances and the cancellation of permit leases for oil drilling. They cite systemic racism to justify their new twisted school curricula and their DEI-dictated corporate hiring practices. And they point to amorphous domestic threats to justify partnering with social media giants to moderate online content, which, of course, just means banning opposing political views. Today's Democrats will always have a reason to take away your money and your freedom. And they found their new model for what this new America should look like. Now, can you guess what it is? Go west, my friends, go west. To California, where there's not a lot of dreaming happening anymore, frankly. It's hard to find a state that's more screwed up than the once golden state, which, of course, makes it the logical exemplar for the screwed up Democrat Party. Of course, California still has its natural beauty and amazing potential. But the Democrat supermajority running the place has really done a number on it. After they declared themselves a sanctuary for illegal immigrants, they also became a sanctuary for criminals, freeloaders, drug addicts, the homeless, and now they're adding something new to the mix. Late last night, Governor Gavin Newsom signed a law that would make California a safe haven for families who want to mutilate their children with trans surgeries and other treatments. Now think about this. When gas is back up at $6 a gallon in California, this is what Gavin Newsom's priority is. When homeless are camped out in pretty much every municipal park in the state, this is what their priority is. When crime is skyrocketing up and down the state, this is what their priority is. And yes, this is exactly what the modern left wants for the rest of America. A government that forces change on the voters, not one that serves the voters. So I want you to keep all of this in mind when you vote in the midterms. Joining me now is Kevin Kiley, Republican, California State Rep, and congressional candidate. It's great to see you tonight. Thank you for joining us. You know, I have such great affection for California. I'm a member of the California Bar. I lived out there for a while as a young associate at a law firm, and I've spent a lot of time in California, a lot of family there. But is California the model? Should it be the model for the rest of the country?
Well, Gavin Newsom sure seems to think so, and thanks for having me tonight, Laura. He said again and again that California is a model for the nation. And, you know, what you just said, California has so much going for it. I love California. A lot of the people who are leaving love California, too. They just hate the politics. And, you know, you mentioned how, you know, they use, it's all about sort of control. And it reminded me of what Gavin Newsom said on April 1st of 2020. This was less than a month in to the whole COVID situation. He said that this was an opportunity for, quote, a new progressive era, an opportunity to reshape the way we do business and the way we govern. He said that out loud, that this was a chance to just fast forward this entire progressive project, which is exactly what just happened, which is why for 170 straight years, California had a growing population, but under Gavin Newsom for the last two, for the first time ever, our population has declined.
Yeah, and in California, when I was growing up in the 1980s and 90s, California was the place people wanted to move to. Now it's the place that people want to move from. I mean, that dynamic alone spells doom for the rest of the country. And by the way, Kevin, I mentioned that this is how Newsom spinned his new transgender bill. He said, and I quote, "We believe that no one should be prosecuted or persecuted for getting the care they need, including gender-affirming care. Parents know what's best for their kids. They should be able to make decisions around the health of their children without fear." First of all, this is a phony issue. Second of all, how do they possibly claim to stand for parental choice when it's all about sidestepping the parents at schools in California now?
Oh, there is no state in the country that erodes the rights of parents more than California does. But this is just so typical. I mean, this bill is just horrible. We're actually taking kids away from their parents. But California's, the strategy of politicians like Gavin Newsom is to promote these just sort of cartoonishly woke policies as a way to cover up what's really happening to our state. You know, when you look at what has happened to California, we lead the nation in all the wrong ways. We have the highest homelessness, highest rate of poverty. We have, you know, out of control crime. The achievement gaps in our schools are bigger than anywhere in the country. And so they try to, you know, have this woke, cartoonishly progressive agenda to take attention away from all of that. But, you know, people are not fooled. We're seeing people leave the state right now in record numbers. And like you said, California used to be the state where anyone could get ahead. It was the full realization of the American dream. And now it's the state that so many people can't wait to leave behind.
Kevin, you must be in Congress. We support you 100%. Thank you so much for joining us, Kevin Kiley.
All right, we'll keep it moving here.
Joining me now is Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, author of the upcoming book, Only the Strong, Reversing the Left's Plot to Sabotage American Power. Senator, the theme of your book is that they are sabotaging us. This is not being done by accident. Your reaction tonight.
Laura, what you see is decline by design. The left has a 100-year plan to try to weaken the sources of American power. It goes back, as you said, to Woodrow Wilson and the progressives' attack on our Declaration, our Constitution, and the moral foundation of our country. And it was not a very far slide until the 1960s and 70s when you had the radical Blame America First Democrats. And today's left is acting in their shadow. This is exactly what the Democrats wanted. Why is inflation up 13%? Why does gas cost $4 to $5 a gallon? Why are you having trouble paying your utility bills? Why are your food bills so high? It's because Joe Biden and other Democrats promised to eliminate fossil fuels, the source of so much of our prosperity. It literally powers our economy. Why do we have 5 million illegal aliens entering this country in the last 2 years? Because Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and all those other Democrats promised to open our border. Why do the Democrats consistently, from Carter to Clinton to Obama to Biden, weaken our military in their office, constrain us with crazy international treaties and bureaucracies? It's because they don't want a strong, sovereign America leading the free world. These are not things that are accidents, they're not mishaps, they're not bad luck or misfortune. This is their deliberate choices. They want to weaken the sources of American power because they think a strong America is bad for our country, and more importantly, in their eyes, bad for the world.
Well, we have a really huge problem in our military that receives the largest share of our budget for spending, and we can't seem to recruit people to the extent that we need to keep our military strong, because we've decided to go woke. So is part of their plan to break the military too, Senator? Because it seems like it.
No question. That's been the consistent theme you've seen with Democrats, really going back to the beginning of the Cold War. Even so-called hawkish Democrats like Harry Truman or JFK consistently cut military spending. It gets worse over time with Carter and Clinton, especially Obama and his understudy Joe Biden. But it's not just the devastating budget cuts as well. It's also the misplaced focus. That's one reason why we have this recruiting crisis. You know, I read a story the other day that Joe Biden and his administration are trying to identify the causes of this recruiting crisis. That's kind of like OJ searching for the real killer, Laura. I mean, all you have to do is look at the debacle in Afghanistan, the foolish vaccine mandates, the radical gender ideology indoctrination sessions, the hunt for supposed white nationalists and extremists that turned up none. These are the reasons why we're struggling to recruit young Americans to join our military. Kids don't join the military to learn how to use the right pronouns. They learn how to kill the bad guys, and they don't think that that's going to happen right now.
Yeah, we got to defund these programs that do that. Otherwise, we're just going to lose our military. So today we learned that the Army's first transgender officer, Major Jamie Lee Henry, and his wife, a Maryland doctor, were indicted on conspiracy charges for allegedly attempting to transfer confidential military medical info to Russia. Senator, quickly, your reaction.
Well, it's a very disturbing case. We want to get to the bottom of what exactly happened. And you know, even Jim Mattis, when he was Secretary of Defense, not exactly an ultra-MAGA Republican, said that there were real challenges trying to integrate transgendered persons into our military that get down to basic medical science and physiology. This is just one more example of how Democrats put their political ideologies ahead of the readiness of our troops and the safety of our nation.
Senator Cotton, can't wait for your book. Thanks so much.
Well, Hurricane Ian's impact in Florida is being felt
far from the coast as northern and central parts of the state saw historic flooding. Some counties were measuring rainfall in feet, not inches. Let's bring in Florida Republican Congresswoman Kat Kamick right now. Her district includes large areas of central Florida. And Congresswoman, thank you for joining us. I want to start with this, the prediction of rising water. It is very dangerous and can be life-threatening. How are emergency management teams preparing for that?
Well, thanks for having me. And yes, you know, the danger of these storms is not just during the actual event itself, but in the 5, 6, 7, sometimes even 10 days after the fact. See, some of the areas around Florida, we have the Intercoastal Waterway, where that is one of the St. Johns, which is one of two rivers in the world that actually flows north. That surge continues to rise. And with us having about 50 inches of rain already this year, every retention pond and drainage ditch is already completely filled. There's nowhere for this water to go. So it's important that we have these high water rescue vehicles that continue to evacuate people. Portions of my district are underwater. About 200 homes have been flooded in just one little town. So it's so important to continue to have access to this type of equipment as we're spread thin across the state now with emergency management all over the place. We have to have people abiding by local officials and their guidance. It's too soon to say that we are out of the woods on this. So it's important that people continue to heed local officials' advice and that we keep those rescue efforts going.
Very, very important. Now, this next part here shouldn't be an issue, but unfortunately, that's where we live in U.S. politics. So I will ask you if you could tell us more about how the two political rivals, we're talking about President Biden, Governor DeSantis, have come together to help the people in Florida.
You know, with President Biden making the trip to Florida this week, this is his opportunity to really show that he's putting people above politics. You know, Governor DeSantis, he has been about the people before, during, and after the storm. My hope is that President Biden comes down and does just that. You know, if he comes down here and starts talking about climate change and COVID vaccines as he did as we were preparing for this storm, that's going to rub a lot of people raw, especially since we are currently engaging in active rescue efforts. So many people have lost everything that they know. Yeah. We're trying to get power restored and fuel to folks for generators. We need to put people first and be Americans first, not Republicans or Democrats.
Well, that's the way it should always be if you ask me all the time. Stop. You know, full stop. But listen, you know, you mentioned you feel like President Biden should behave in a certain way. He's the president. I'd imagine he will. And he said he, of course, is very much willing to meet with Governor DeSantis when he arrives there on Wednesday. Now, you know, that works both ways. The Governor DeSantis, he's not an angel either in this scenario. You know, he's had some really, harsh things to say about the president, his leadership, and you know how it goes. It's politics. But will they both extend hands and shake hands and come together for the sake of the people there in Florida? As you laid out, they need so much help there.
Absolutely. You know, and what I've seen thus far has been really quite an amazing orchestra of federal, state, and local officials working in concert together. And that's the way it should be. You know, we're focused now, like I said, on the evacuation of people who got left behind, who didn't want to evacuate. There's active search and rescue operations going on. And listen, there is absolutely an element of criticism that goes both ways. But I believe, because I know him, Governor DeSantis, he is putting our Floridians first. He is doing what he needs to do to make sure that they are taken care of. And it shouldn't be about politics in this situation. It should be, like I said, about the people. And I do think that they will be able to come together and be consummate professionals in this and really focus on what needs to get done.
I agree. Pardon me. As Governor, Governor DeSantis has shown great leadership there. And as the president, President Biden has shown great leadership. And so we're all good with that. Let's talk more about what the folks in Florida need. Is that help on the way, and will the aid continue to flow?
You know, I can't tell you how heartwarming it has been down the highway, down I-75, just truck after truck after truck with cranes, generators. I mean, the linemen. I mean, it's such a sense of pride as an American to see the cavalry come in from all over the United States. I'm seeing license plates from as far as Colorado and Montana. People are really going all out to help our state, which is in dire need. But, you know, while we are trying to figure out just how to get folks out, the next big mission set, I think, for FEMA, in addition to getting power restored and water restored, it's going to be the housing mission. Mm-hmm. People lost everything in this storm, and yes. they have nowhere to go. So the housing mission is something that we are actively trying to figure out. My colleagues, Byron Donalds, Greg Stubbe, Vern Buchanan, and others, they are boots on the ground in their districts, working to try to establish a priority of needs, and they've done yeah. a fantastic job. I think that the housing mission is going to be a big hurdle because there's yeah. so much devastation and so much flooding. That's going to yeah. be the next big challenge.
And a couple quick things before I have to let you go, because I know you're really busy, but as far as housing, do you think there's a possibility that your local, state, and federal leaders can come together and maybe talk to some of the hotels there to maybe temporarily house some of the people who are just left with no place to go? Because those FEMA trailers, they're not so good.
Right. You know, we've seen that disaster in the past. Listen, across the board, all of my colleagues here in Florida, Republican and Democrat, it has been one team, one mission. And so I have no doubt that everyone from the private sector to the public sector are going to come together to make something work. So I have great faith. We've got a long road ahead, but I'm very encouraged.
One quick final question for you. What are your thoughts on suggestions that these areas that were destroyed by Hurricane Ian should not be rebuilt?
You know, I think it's just too early. When we have people that are out doing search and rescue missions, we've got the Coast Guard pulling people off of areas like Pine Island and Sanibel Island. I think those conversations are just way too early to be having. We need to be focused on the rescue mission today.
Well, Florida Congresswoman Kat Kamick, thank you so much. Redcross.org /Fox Forward is where you can go to help the great people there of Florida. Thank you so much, Congresswoman.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page and catch our hottest interviews and most compelling.
Futures are mixed this morning on the first trading day of the final quarter of 2022. We're looking ahead to the September jobs report out on Friday. There's so much more that's going to happen between now and then. However, joining me now, ErShares CEO Joel Shulman. Joel, there's much to discuss, dissect this morning. What are you watching to start this new week, this new month, this new quarter?
Well, certainly we have the inversion in interest rates, which is about 40 basis points. You alluded to it mm-hmm. earlier. This is a concern. I mean, we're clearly looking at, two, now possibly three negative quarters in a row. So sentiment's certainly very negative. We have a jobs report coming out this Friday. We also have October 13th, the new CPI numbers, which a lot of people are going to be watching very closely and see how the Fed responds.
Well, you mentioned the three negative quarters of growth, the first quarter, the second quarter, contraction. But I will point out that the GDP now estimate from the Atlanta Fed is now at 2.4% growth. So that kind of ignores what will be happening in the quarters to come, because what the Federal Reserve is doing and plans to continue to do in terms of raising interest rates, Joel, that's going to take a year to 18 months to trickle out into the economy. So we're looking at a 2024 negative growth or weakness in the economy potentially.
Right. Well, I mean, we, again, as you point out, these things take a while to take effect. I mean, we didn't get into this mess overnight. We're certainly not going to get out of it overnight either. And with CPI, I mean, we've got to remember it's a lag. So particularly the housing, which is 30 to 40% of the total, and we've got to recognize that, the market's already down here. We're seeing energy down. We're seeing consumption and commodities down. We're seeing GDP down. We're seeing housing prices come to a complete halt. It was the worst case Shiller index since inception. So the indicators on the ground are already suggesting that we're inflation is starting to come down. And with the Fed continuing to tighten, they have a very real chance of overcorrecting.
Mitch, jump in here, because there's much going on in terms of with the kind of freak out in Britain that happened last week because of these insurance strategies that kind of caused a disruption in the bond market there. Credit Suisse has tried to calm the market fears about its own financial stability. It came out, if you want to take a look at Credit Suisse's stock, it sent out a memo to employees, and we're calling investors and clients over the weekend, and that very often causes more problems than it solves.
You know, all of this, Degan, is eerily reminiscent of the financial crisis, and I'm not sort of yelling, you know, fire in a crowded movie house, but the fact of the matter is, when you see financial institutions at risk because their balance sheets and their assets and liabilities are sort of out of whack from a timing perspective, and then you see a central bank scrambling like what they're doing in the UK, this all sort of reminds me of like the 2008 period, and it could be a sign that on top of the regular slowing of the economy and inflation that's out of control around the world, we have some form of financial crisis that's really going to start in the UK.
And, but what about here in the U.S.? You emailed me yesterday, on Sunday, Mitch.
Yeah, I did email you.
Watching football.
You know what? The Giants had won. You know, I heard Todd screaming. So the fact of the matter is the Fed is having an emergency meeting today. We don't know what it's about. There's not much in the press. But I have a feeling it has a lot to do with trying to help prop up the U.K. economy, because the one thing that they're doing, their central bank in the U.K., is buying securities, sort of, you know, like what we did. But we're trying to get out of owning securities, and they're doing it. That's inflationary, and one of the things they have out of control in the U.K. is inflation. So I think their economy may need some help around the world.
They were tightening, and then they turned around because of the freakout in the bond market there and started buying bonds. And Joel, that is unnerving to the point that it sends the message that central bankers, as if we already didn't know this, they have no clue what they're doing.
Well, UK is certainly being criticized from all angles in terms of the way they handle things with Brexit and now in the latest crisis. I mean, Europe's in trouble. I mean, they're going to have a much deeper recession than we're going to have here in the U.S. I think within the world, there are only a handful of pockets that, you know, it seemed to be calm. You know, India is one of those examples where they've actually received benefit through the war in Europe, where they're now receiving the oil from Russia, and they're turning around and selling it to Europe at a profit. So their markets are fairly calm. But the rest of the world, including China, Europe, U.S., Latin America, we're all in trouble.
Before we go, something that we were talking about here last week. So bonds, the New York Times article, are having their worst year since 1926. And you look at the yield are falling this morning, but that means that the actual price is going up. That's good news. But in this environment where people just want safety, a yield of 4.2% on a two-year, if you lock it in for 2 years, that looks pretty good if you think the Federal Reserve is going to be able to bring inflation down to potentially below that level.
Maybe. I'm not sure I'd go that far out on a Treasury, a two-year. You know, maybe you go with 1 year or 6 months. I do think, however, you know, the last couple months this year, we're going to see I think the markets are going to be in equities will be relatively flat for the next few weeks, maybe down a little bit. But I think if we start seeing CPI numbers that are improving, and I think as people have confidence that the market is going to be forward looking at, you know, to following years when inflation is coming down, I do believe that we may see a little a pop in the markets, you know, from November and December. So I think there's a chance there. But I wouldn't go 2 years out in the Treasury. I might go 6 months at this point.
And that, there's one headline, though, in the Journal today. It says, after a punishing year for stocks, investors aren't betting on a post-midterm rally. But you say otherwise, right, Joel?
It may be. We may be. And I think the catalyst, if we have such a thing as a catalyst, it would be CPI numbers that are showing starting to come down. But again, those are lagging indicators. And again, we're going to continue to see corporations coming out with revisions and earnings going down and so forth. Ironically, when companies announce that they're laying off, you know, stocks do rally. So there are going to be, you know, good news, bad news, you know, throughout the last quarter.
Joel, great to see you this morning. Joel Shulman. We'll see you again very soon.
Okay, let's see what's next here.
So when something this awful happens, something that affects the lives of millions of your fellow Americans, decent people step back for a moment. It's a moment that demands reverence and silence to consider what we've just seen. And then the practical questions. People are suffering. How are they suffering? They don't have power. They don't have communications. How many homes were destroyed? You ask questions like that, and you try to assess what this means and the human cost of it. The one thing you don't do is immediately jump forward to score some sort of cheap and sleazy political point from it. That used to be obvious, but for the past several years, it's been clear it's no longer obvious, at least to one political party. You saw this happen after the forest fires in California 2 years ago. It happened after tornadoes killed people in the Midwest last year, and it's happening again now. Immediately on cable television and on the floor of the legislative bodies across this country, self-described experts are demanding that you accept responsibility for whatever natural disaster has just occurred. It's your fault, including for Hurricane Ian. You did this because you didn't support giving Joe Biden trillions of dollars to fight climate change. So you caused it. Watch.
Decades ago, it used to be one or two a season would happen. Now with climate change and these extreme warm waters, it's almost, you know, it's happening all the time.
This storm, in a way, is kind of bad news for the people that are still trying to deny climate change as a factor.
Florida Republicans deny climate change as a monster storm barrels towards the coast.
This will be a first-time test for how you adapt to these new, stronger storms on a warmer planet as a result of climate change.
A threat exacerbated, of course, by climate change.
Charleston, like Miami, gets water that comes up on a good sunny day. That's climate change because water levels are rising.
Our Earth is getting warmer, and there is just no doubt, I think, left that it is feeding these beasts.
Imagine taking a science lecture from someone as stupid as Stephanie Ruhle or Ali Veshi. So on that level, it's ridiculous, and it's also, as we just suggested, unseemly and anti-human. Of course, people are dying, so wait just a moment before putting forward your demands for more political power. But it's also factually untrue. So you just heard one hair hat say, it used to be one or two hurricanes a season would happen. Now it's happening all the time. And you hear this all the time, and it's a way of terrifying you into handing politicians more power over your life. But the fact is, it's a lie. It's not even remotely true. I mean, it's not a close call. There has been, as a factual matter, no increase in hurricane frequency in the continental United States from 1900 to 2020. That's 120 years. It's been recorded. We have the data. They're on your screen right now. In fact, as Michael Schellenberger has pointed out, someone has actually looked at the numbers, the number of landfalling hurricanes has dropped slightly over the past century. Why? We're not sure, but we can probably guess it has nothing to do with climate or your SUV. We do know that in that same period, deaths of human beings from natural disasters such as hurricanes have dropped a lot, by about 90%. And the death toll is forecast to drop even more as people respond to the changing environment. Because that's what people do. Government scientists at the NOAA and even the professional alarmists at the IPCC predict that hurricanes will become 25% less frequent throughout the 21st century. Oh, and that makes sense because the current Atlantic hurricane season is the slowest one in a quarter century. So none of that is to downplay or minimize in any way the savagery of Hurricane Ian or the sadness of what it's done to your fellow Americans. It's horrible. But it does raise the question, how exactly are you responsible for it? Well, of course, you're not in any sense. You're not liable for that. You didn't do that. You're a normal person. You're grieving for the people who are just killed. You're not trying to score political points on their deaths. But Don Lemon steps into the breach between fact and rhetoric, with a brand new theory. Don Lemon claims that storms may not have become more frequent, but they definitely become more, quote, intense. Watch.
The science shows what the science shows. It's undeniable what is happening. But listen, let's talk about the storm surge. Really, what I was trying to explain this, it's just a phenomenon of the intensifying storms
right.
over the years, what it is. Not trying to say that it's one that, you know, one particular storm we could gauge something. But listen, you get an idea. You've been doing this for a while. I've been covering these for, you know, since I've been in the business for 20 years. I've lived in the Gulf Coast. You see the intensity of the storms increasing, and that's the science definitely shows that.
So the intensity of the storms has increased. And notice how, like all TV presenters, the claim is never proven. They never show you how it's true. They just assert it. They become more intense. Well, how does Don Lemon know that? Because of a longitudinal study he's done? Well, yeah, in a way, he, quote, lived in the Gulf Coast. So he knows the storms are getting more intense because he's been in this business a long time. Well, is that true? it's worth assessing it since you hear it constantly and there's a political reason they're telling you that. Is it true? Are the storms getting more intense? And if so, how much more intense are they getting? Well, we did our level best, since this is a news show, to get to the bottom of that. According to the latest models from the NOAA, the worst-case scenario is that hurricanes get 5% stronger this century. We're 22 years into the century, 78 years to go. So hurricanes are 25% less common and at most 5% more intense. Do the math. Well, as scientist Roger Pelkey put it, quote, even under the most extreme scenarios of climate change, future disasters will look a lot like today's.
I was trying to play the next Broccoli Man here. All right. Thought I uploaded it, but I guess not.
Futures are mixed this morning on the first trading day of the final quarter of 2022. We're looking ahead to the September jobs report out on Friday. There's so much more that's going to happen between now and then. However, joining me now, ERShares CEO Joel Shulman. Joel, there's much to discuss, dissect this morning. What are you watching to start this new week, this new month, this new quarter?
Well, certainly we have the inversion in interest rates, which is about 40 basis points. You alluded to it earlier. This is a concern. I mean, we're clearly looking at, two, now possibly three negative quarters in a row. So sentiment's certainly very negative. We have a jobs report coming out this Friday. We also have October 13th, the new CPI numbers, which a lot of people are going to be watching very closely and see how the Fed responds.
Well, you mentioned the three negative quarters of growth, the first quarter, the second quarter contraction. But I will point out that the GDP now estimate from the Atlanta Fed is now at 2.4% growth. So that kind of ignores what will be happening in the quarters to come, because what the Federal Reserve is doing and plans to continue to do in terms of raising interest rates, Joel, that's going to take a year to 18 months to trickle out into the economy. So we're looking at a 2024 negative growth or weakness in the economy potentially.
Right. Well, I mean, again, as you point out, these things take a while to take effect. I mean, we didn't get into this mess overnight. We're certainly not going to get out of it overnight either. And with CPI, I mean, we've got to remember it's a lag. So particularly the housing, which is 30 to 40% of the total, and we've got to recognize that, the market's already down here. We're seeing energy down. We're seeing consumption and commodities down. We're seeing GDP down. We're seeing housing prices come to a complete halt. It was the worst-case Shiller index since inception. So the indicators on the ground are already suggesting that we're inflation is starting to come down, and with the Fed continuing to tighten, they have a very real chance of overcorrecting.
Mitch, jump in here, because there's much going on in terms of with the kind of freak out in Britain that happened last week because of these insurance strategies that kind of caused a disruption in the bond market there. Credit Suisse has tried to calm the market fears about its own financial stability. It came out, if you want to take a look at Credit Suisse's stock, it sent out a memo to employees and were calling investors and clients over the weekend, and that very often causes more problems than it solves.
All of this, Degan, is eerily reminiscent of the financial crisis, and I'm not sort of yelling, fire in a crowded movie house, but the fact of the matter is, when you see financial institutions at risk because their balance sheets and their assets and liabilities are sort of out of whack from a timing perspective, and then you see a central bank scrambling like what they're doing in the UK, this all sort of reminds me of like the 2008 period. And it could be a sign that on top of the regular slowing of the economy and inflation that's out of control around the world, we have some form of financial crisis that's really going to start in the U.K.
And, but what about here in the U.S.? You emailed me yesterday on Sunday, Mitch.
Yeah, I did email
watching you. Watching football.
You know what? The Giants had won. You know, I heard Todd screaming. So the fact of the matter is the Fed is having an emergency meeting today. We don't know what it's about. There's not much in the press. But I have a feeling it has a lot to do with trying to help prop up the U.K. economy, because the one thing that they're doing, their central bank in the U.K. is buying securities, sort of, you know, like what we did. We're trying to get out of owning securities, and they're doing it. That's inflationary, and one of the things they have out of control in the U.K. is inflation. So I think their economy may need some help around the world.
They were tightening, and then they turned around because of the freak out in the bond market there and started buying bonds. And Joel, that is unnerving to the point that it sends the message that central bankers, as if we already didn't know this, they have no clue what they're doing.
Well, UK is certainly being criticized from all angles in terms of the way they handle things with Brexit and now in the latest crisis. I mean, Europe's in trouble. I mean, they're going to have a much deeper recession than we're going to have here in the U.S. I think within the world, there are only a handful of pockets that, you know, it seemed to be calm. You know, India is one of those examples where they've actually received benefit through the war in Europe, where they're now receiving the oil from Russia, and they're turning around and selling it to Europe at a profit. So their markets are fairly calm. But the rest of the world, including China, Europe, U.S., Latin America, we're all in trouble.
Before we go, something that we were talking about here last week. So bonds, the New York Times article, are having their worst year since 1926. And you look at the yield are falling this morning, but that means that the actual price is going up. That's good news. But in this environment where people just want safety, a yield of 4.2% on a two-year, if you lock it in for 2 years, that looks pretty good if you think the Federal Reserve is going to be able to bring inflation down to potentially below that level.
Maybe. I'm not sure I'd go that far out on a Treasury, a two-year. You know, maybe you go with 1 year or 6 months. I do think, however, you know, the last couple of months this year, we're going to see I think the markets are going to be in equities and will be relatively flat for the next few weeks, maybe down a little bit. But I think if we start seeing CPI numbers that are improving, and I think as people have confidence that the market is going to be forward looking at, you know, to following years when inflation is coming down, I do believe that we may see a little a pop in the markets, you know, from November and December. So I think there's a chance there. But I wouldn't go 2 years out in the Treasury. I might go 6 months at this point.
And that, there's one headline, though, in the Journal today. It says, after a punishing year for stocks, investors aren't betting on a post-midterm rally. But you say otherwise, right, Joel?
It may be. We may be. And I think the catalyst, if we have such a thing as a catalyst, it would be CPI numbers that are showing starting to come down. But, again, those are lagging indicators. And again, we're going to continue to see corporations coming out with revisions and earnings going down and so forth. Ironically, when companies announce that they're laying off, you know, stocks do rally. So there are going to be, you know, good news, bad news, you know, throughout the last quarter.
Joel, great to see you this morning. Joel Shulman. We'll see you again very soon.
This is one of the most troubling, disturbing speeches for the new dystopian future we're looking at I have ever heard in my life from a politician. This woman is a horrifying mess and a blend of dictatorship, insanity, and totalitarianism. Did you see this speech by Jacinda Ardern? This happened at the UN. She is the Prime Minister of New Zealand. This is one of the most terrifying speeches. How this hasn't made its way around the internet is puzzling to me. It's one of the most terrifying speeches you will ever hear. This is the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern, talking about using war analogies when it comes to her push. She is a liberal lunatic to censoring online activity. This is why Elon, Rumble, all of these entities need to get together and push for this parallel economy right now. We would welcome talking to them. Listen to this speech. This is horrifying. Check this out.
This week, we launched an initiative alongside companies and nonprofits to help improve research and understanding of how a person's online experiences are curated by automated processes. This will also be important in understanding more about mis- and disinformation online, a challenge that we must, as leaders, address. Sadly, I think it's easy to dismiss this problem as one in the margins. I can certainly understand the desire to leave it to someone else. As leaders, we're rightly concerned that even the most light-touch approaches to disinformation could be misinterpreted as being hostile to the values of free speech that we value so highly. But while I cannot tell you today what the answer is to this challenge, I can say with complete certainty that we cannot ignore it. To do so poses an equal threat to the norms we all value. After all, how do you successfully end a war if people are led to believe the reason for its existence is not only legal but noble? How do you tackle climate change if people do not believe it exists?
Folks, hat tip Steve Dace, who a good friend of mine, who put this out there. This is one of the most troubling, disturbing speeches for the new dystopian future we're looking at I have ever heard in my life from a politician. This woman is a horrifying mess and a blend of dictatorship, insanity, and totalitarianism. Make no mistake, though, the words she verbalized in that speech to the United Nations are the feelings of every single liberal and socialist leader around the world. There is nothing they want more than to shut down the free and open Internet. So I am making a plea to Elon now. Please, let's join hands in this. We could use you. I think you could use us, too. It would mean a lot. Free speech is at stake. It's not melodrama. It's a fact. Listen to these people talk. She's comparing this to a war. What's next? You're going to mobilize the military to shut down our data centers? These people are crazy. If you enjoyed this video, please subscribe to my Clips channel at rumble.com/BonginoClips.
All right, on that note, we'll get the latest in Mr. Broccoli up here since we have a new episode for the weekend. I'll go ahead and play it now.
Hello, sir, and welcome to Maria's Kitchen. Can I get you something to drink?
Yes, may I start with a fresh brewed iced tea? I also would like to get a menu.
That was... I'll tell you what, I'll play a commercial. No, I'll replay the video, and then I'll hang up and...
Hello, sir, and welcome to Maria's Kitchen. Can I get you something to drink?
Yes, may I start with a fresh brewed iced tea? I also would like to get a menu so I can order.
We do not print menus. You will have to download our app and scan the QR code so you can see our menu.
I do not have a cell phone.
Well, you will need one to read our menu.
So... you have nothing to offer me if I do not have a cell phone?
Unfortunately, no. If you want to purchase a cell phone and then come back and so you can scan our QR code, I understand.
Can you just tell me a few things that are on the menu? Are there any specials?
All of our specials are on our app. I do recommend you purchase a cell phone so you can view our app.
I have never been to this restaurant before. Can you tell me what kind of food you sell? I understand you do not want to give me a menu. I do not want to guess at what you make and what you do not sell.
Well, sir, if you would just go buy a cell phone, then you can download our app. It will tell you our menu, our prices, what specials we have. We even have a loyalty card on there, so every time you purchase through the app, you get points.
Hey, that's great. I see I am talking to an immovable object. Can I just get a salad?
Yes, sir. Which salad did you want? All of our salads have certain names on them. If you tell me the name of the salad on the app, I can scan my phone on yours and I can go put the order in.
Do you have a salad with spinach and with Italian dressing?
Yes, sir. I can get that for you as soon as you punch your decision into the app on your phone. If you are ready, we can do that right now.
Look, all I want to do is order a spinach salad and pay for it in cash.
Sorry, ever since COVID, we stopped accepting cash. You pay for everything on the app. We do not even take cash for tips.
You do not even take cash for tips?
Oh heavens no. Only extremists use cash. If someone leaves the cash on the table, we have to call the manager over and have them get gloves and a pair of tongs. It has to go right in the trash can. We do not want anyone thinking we are Trump supporters or any Republicans.
That is the craziest thing I ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. Those Trump supporters are wild. They believe that there are women.
Sorry, I thought you were still talking. I do believe there are women. Aren't you a woman?
You come in here with no cell phone. You want to use cash. And you just called me a woman. You are severely out of touch. No one I know even thinks about having a gender anymore. We are all just gender X. We are one person. We are humans. We live in a one world order.
Wow. I have never been denied food and called an extremist for asking for a menu and wanting to pay in cash.
Had we known you were going to try and pull a fast one and use cash, we would have had security demand you leave. Next time you try and come through our doors, you must show us your mobile phone as you walk in. We cannot have you people come in here.
Who is you people?
Look, you need to get this out of my restaurant right now. We cannot have you extremists coming in here and trying to use cash. We are about to also start demanding your gene therapy passports again in a few days. Anytime you ever think about coming in to eat, you better provide us proof you got all your gene therapies.
Don't worry, there will never be a next time. I will not even try to help you if you have crime come in the building.
Well, I hope not. I donated to defunding the police and superheroes. We believe in every person is human. People make mistakes. That's why we believe in no cash bail and have no prisons.
But you are throwing me out of the restaurant hungry because I do not have a cell phone.
Yes, I am. At least the robbers know they can check in on their phone. I do not respect the Republicans. They are not human.
So, you believe everyone is equal? Except people that do not vote the same way as you. Or have a different gender than you.
Yes. If you believe in gender, then you need to take your fat ass and leave my eyesight right now. If you are voting Republican, I will go outside and damage your car personally. Otherwise, if you have your cell phone ready, you can order and I can go put your food in.
Okay, then let me get up out this bee. I will find another restaurant more accommodating. I have been to bus stations more warm and friendly than this.
It's not our fault you have hate in your heart. We are loving and liberal.
You are incorrect about your hate. You are the one that called me profanities, flipped me off, and refused business.
Shut up, biznitch.
Hey everyone. Let's continue fighting these globalists. We need to check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on freedomizerradio.com. Click on Listen Live. Proof is on air 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. He has on great cohorts, excellent guests, and keeps everyone informed of what the globalists are doing. That is freedomizerradio.com. Look for the Proof Negative radio show.
We need people like you to stop telling people to support fake news and to help us all become a great one world government. People should be required to have a cell phone and only use digital currency. If only we can force everyone to have a social credit score and a microchip.
All right, I'm going to play this evening's Tucker Carlson, and then that's going to be it for the Proof Negative show here. So, I'm still looking for a Monday co-host. I just feel like I'm wasting everybody's time by not having one. And I'm just not a fan of talking to myself, for myself, and by myself. So if anybody out there is interested in being a part of the show, please let me know. Proof@freedomizerradio.com. All right, here's today's Tucker Carlson.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. So the question of who blew up Russia's energy pipelines to Europe, which is not just a question in the news, it's a historical question. We've addressed it a couple of times already, is not really much of a question anymore. So on television, they're assuring you that obviously the Russians did it. Vladimir Putin sabotaged his own pipelines. With his nation at war, Putin intentionally destroyed Russia's most vital national asset. Now, why, you ask yourself, would Putin do that? Well, because no one's explained why Putin would do something like that. Bad people do bad things. That seems to be the idea. Former CIA director John Brennan showed up on CNN the other day to add his version of the story, and it was clear right away that this was no ordinary cable news segment. Brennan was instead conducting a scientific experiment designed to determine just how stupid CNN viewers are. Now, these are people who believe Joe Biden when he told them COVID was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. These are the ones who think men can become women just by saying so. So clearly they are highly credulous. But the question remains, just how credulous are they? What won't they believe? Well, in the name of science, John Brennan decided to find out. Watch.
Do you think Russia is behind the sabotage of the pipeline?
Well, I think all the signs point to some type of sabotage. These pipelines are only in about 200 feet or so of water, and Russia does have an undersea capability to that would easily lay explosive devices by those pipelines. I think this is clearly an act of sabotage of some sort, and Russia is certainly the most likely suspect.
Do you think the Russians did it, that's the anchor? Do you think the man with four bullet holes in his head committed suicide? Oh, yes, says John Brennan. The Russians are certainly the most likely suspect. Well, of course they are. Did you ever doubt it? Once Putin got done electing Donald Trump president and then finished creating Hunter Biden's fake laptop and dropping it off at a Mac repair shop in Delaware, Putin set about sabotaging his own natural gas pipelines, which were his main source of foreign currency and leverage over Europe. That's how tricky Vladimir Putin is. Obviously, his next move will be nuking Moscow, all part of his diabolical plan to achieve world domination by destroying himself. That's effectively what John Brennan told CNN's viewers. Did they believe him? Sure they did. John Brennan used to run the CIA. He knows which lies work. He's an expert. Now, Tony Blinken, by contrast, is not an expert. He's a failed rock musician who somehow became the Secretary of State of the United States. He's, of course, happy to lie, does it a lot, but he's not especially good at it. At the beginning of last week, Blinken was pretending to be baffled by the sabotage of Nord Stream. No one benefits from this, he said. Not in a million years could he imagine who would do something like that. It was just unfathomable. That was Tuesday. By Friday, Blinken had dropped the pose and admitted that, actually, we did it. Now, Tony Blinken didn't use quite those words, but there was no mistaking what he meant. Watch.
It's a tremendous opportunity to once and for all remove the dependence on Russian energy and thus to take away from Vladimir Putin the weaponization of energy as a means of advancing his imperial designs. That's very significant, and that offers tremendous strategic opportunity for the years to come.
Now, we don't have a super long attention span, but this was pretty compressed in the space of like 4 days. So last Tuesday, the largest act of industrial terrorism in our lifetimes was a baffling crime, said Tony Blinken. But by Friday, that same event had become, quote, a tremendous opportunity. In fact, a tremendous strategic opportunity for the years to come. It's a good thing. Now, that's an admission. That's the clearest admission we're ever going to get. No one could miss it, least of all the Russians. The Biden administration is responsible, either directly or through proxies, for the destruction of the Nord Stream pipelines and the environmental catastrophe and the economic collapse that will certainly follow. That is true. It's done. So the question is, where does that leave us? And that's the problem. This act leaves us, the United States, with no option but total war with Russia. There is no off-ramp now. There is no way out. We are all in, no matter what that means, no matter where it goes. Are you shocked by this? Was there a vote on this? Did someone ask your opinion? No. But it's been happening for months in slow motion. It's been hidden from public view by the near total blackout imposed by America media outlets. So you probably didn't know any of the details. For example, in March, the Turkish government tried to broker a peace in Ukraine, and they came very, very close. It wasn't reported widely. Ukraine was prepared to guarantee neutrality, meaning it would not join NATO. That's what the Russians wanted above all. And in return for that, the Russian government would withdraw its forces from Ukraine. And that might have been a neat solution. Certainly for the rest of us, the global economy wouldn't need to be destroyed. Nobody would die in a nuclear war. Negotiations to that point advanced to the stage that Vladimir Putin pledged to meet with Zelensky to sign a truce treaty. And Zelensky was ready for it too. And we're quoting, "I'm ready for a dialogue," he announced. But sadly, Zelensky could not act alone. Despite what you may hear on NBC News, Zelensky is not the independent leader of a democratic nation. No, not even close. That is a fiction. Zelensky is a client of the Biden administration, which runs his country. And ideologues within the Biden administration did not want a negotiated peace in Ukraine. They wanted all along, and it's very clear now, a regime change war against Russia, period. So that's what they are now getting. On Friday, Zelensky announced that Ukraine is applying for full membership in NATO on an expedited basis. What would happen if Ukraine were to join NATO? Well, by definition, there would be an immediate world war in which we would be a major participant. Article 5 of the NATO Charter, the Mutual Defense Clause, guarantees that would happen. That's not an opinion. That is a fact. And everyone knows it. And yet, remarkably, Democrats in Congress cheered it on. And we're quoting, "Ukraine's fight is the reason we formed NATO in the first place," said mouth-breathing Congressman Mike Quigley of Illinois. I think we need to support this. Oh, yes, we do. Nancy Pelosi, peering through the fog of her own senility, agreed. "I would be for Ukraine having a security guarantee," she said. "Oh, no problem." And of course, because he has no choice, whatever you think of him, Zelensky, who is the puppet of the Democratic Party of the United States, read from the same script. On Friday, Zelensky said he will accept nothing less than the removal of Vladimir Putin as the president of Russia. Watch.
"Ukraine was and remains the leader of negotiation efforts. It is our country that always proposed to Russia to agree on coexistence on equal, honest, dignified, and fair conditions. Clearly, with this Russian president, it is impossible. He does not know what dignity and honesty are. Therefore, we are ready for a dialogue with Russia, but with another president of Russia."
So that's the demand. Putin must be removed from office. Putin, of course, has no intention of leaving. You would have to take him out. Now, you don't have to like Vladimir Putin. You don't have to like anything about Vladimir Putin. You can hate Vladimir Putin, and most Americans do. But you can still understand how totally deranged talk like this is. It's the definition of reckless. Consider their own descriptions. For years, Democrats and the defense establishment they control have told us that Vladimir Putin is crazy and evil, and he may be. Let's assume it's true. They've said it. Is that the man you want to publicly threaten with extermination? This is the man who controls more than 6,000 nuclear warheads. So if you push him hard enough, why wouldn't he use those nuclear weapons? Well, by their own description of him, he would. We would have a nuclear war. But let's say, as a best-case scenario, you're able to kill Vladimir Putin before he could launch those 6,000-odd missiles against the United States or any other country. Where would that leave Russia, the country he controls? Russia is not Iraq. Russia represents an eighth of the world's total landmass. It is a huge country and a highly fractious country with a large and very restive Muslim population. So think this through just for one second. What are the chances that in the ensuing chaos, which we are forcing on Russia, in that chaos, what are the chances that one of those 6,200 nuclear weapons might wind up in the hands of someone who is truly crazy and dangerous to us and to the world? Well, let's see. What happened to Saddam Hussein's stockpiles of conventional weapons after American forces captured Saddam Hussein in Tikrit in December of 2003 and changed the regime there? Well, lots of Americans died and the country split apart. So multiply that outcome times infinity and you understand what our leaders are proposing here and just how deranged they are. And they should know better because they've done this before. But they learned nothing. They were never held to account and they never learned. If you're not punished, you don't learn. And so they are ready to make the very same mistakes, but on an existential scale. And not just the wackos, not just the discredited ones like Tory and Nuland or buffoons like our Secretary of State, the serious ones. Here's former CIA Director David Petraeus on ABC calmly explaining that if Russia launches nuclear weapons, no problem. We'll just eliminate their Black Sea Fleet.
It can still get worse for Putin and for Russia. And even the use of tactical nuclear weapons on the battlefield won't change this at all. Jake Sullivan has publicly stated that the U.S. has communicated to Russia what would happen in response to that.
And what would happen?
Well, again, I have deliberately not talked to Jake about this.
Yeah.
I mean, just to give you a hypothetical,
yeah.
We would respond by leading a NATO, a collective effort, that would take out every Russian conventional force that we can see and identify on the battlefield in Ukraine and also in Crimea and every ship on the in the Black Sea Fleet.
So, well, that's reassuring. So Russia launches nuclear weapons, we'll just sink their ships. Really, David Petraeus? Really think it'll end there? That would be the first use of a nuclear weapon in almost 80 years since 1945. But you think you'd be able to contain the inevitable chain reaction with a conventional response. We'll just sink their ships. No problem. Apparently, David Petraeus does think that. And keep in mind, in Washington, David Petraeus is regarded as a genius. And by local standards, he certainly is. Suddenly, everyone in authority, everyone with a megaphone, everyone with actual power is thinking and talking just like David Petraeus. No problem. The Daily Beast, which is the tip sheet of the midwits who run our government, just had this piece today. Putin has left the world no other option but regime change. No mention of the inevitable consequences of regime change. A crazy person with nuclear weapons, and you're telling him in public you're going to kill him, and you're hoping for the best. And if he launches nuclear weapons, which apparently you have accepted as a possibility, let's take out his ships. We'll just sink his fleet and move on to the next naughty dictator. We'll show him. That's the depth of the analysis of the looming catastrophe that we're all facing. Less than in 60 minutes. Scott Pelley, again, someone who is reported to be smart, who is respected, probably is. He had the opportunity to interview Zelensky's wife, who was a full partner, apparently, in running that country. But there was no word about where this war could go, which is nuclear war. Instead, Scott Pelley used the opportunity to suck up. Talk about how Ukrainian flag bumper stickers are everywhere in New York City, Mrs. Zelensky. Watch this.
Are you stronger than you thought you were?
Everyone has become stronger. I'm not unique.
Madam First Lady, may I show you some photographs from the United States?
With pleasure.
This is a picture I took on Fifth Avenue in New York.
Wonderful.
This is a bumper sticker where I buy my groceries. I took this picture on the east side of Manhattan. What do you say to the American people?
And we apologize if you just threw up in your own mouth. That's 60 Minutes, the serious news show that gets to the heart of everything. Are you ever tired of being so brave and wonderful? That's the level of analysis we're getting, showing the wife of the president of Ukraine a bumper sticker with Ukrainian flag on. We're on your side. We love you. We really do. This is true lunacy. An entire country ignoring, led by its leaders who specialize in ignoring the things that matter. Imminent catastrophe. That's not an overstatement. This is not
This is not the inflation rate ticking up 2 points or a loss of 15% on your 401k. This is a nuclear war. And underneath it all, the people rolling the dice here understand exactly what's at stake, even if the American public has no idea. And we know that from a recent PSA from New York City that tells you what to do when the Russians actually do lob nukes into Midtown. Here it is.
So there's been a nuclear attack. Don't ask me how or why. Just know that the big one has hit, okay? So what do we do? Step one, get inside fast. You, your friends, your family, get inside. Stay inside. Shut all doors and windows. Have a basement? Head there. If you were outside after the blast, get clean immediately. Remove and bag all outer clothing to keep radioactive dust or ash away from your body.
Oh, yeah. Keep radioactive dust and ash away. It's just like one of those things. Clean the gutters, right? Be sure to put Kemlon on in the spring and obviously keep the radioactive dust away. Just shower, go inside, no problem. Buses in New Jersey now have signs warning about radiation poisoning. Quote, September is National Preparedness Month. Do you know what to do in a radiation emergency? No, you don't. It doesn't matter. This is all make-believe. It's all play acting. If you live in a big metro area, there's not anything you're going to do during a nuclear exchange because you're going to be dead, along with most other Americans. The overwhelming majority of Americans will be dead. And those who survive will starve to death because all agriculture will be destroyed, along with billions of people around the planet. So it's time to update your assumptions about the technology here. These are not the bombs that flattened Nagasaki. They are incalculably more powerful. You hit New York, you take out Miami. So a nuclear war means not that we get to take out the Black Sea Fleet. It means the end of the world. And people who work around this stuff understand it, and they're really afraid. But no one else seems to have any idea. Why is that? Glenn Greenwald has been watching really carefully all of this unfold. His work is on Substack. We're happy to have him join us tonight. Glenn, thanks so much for coming on. It seems to me no matter how you feel about Putin, you know, or Ukraine or the justice of the war or anything, the threat, the very real in-your-face threat of a nuclear exchange right now that they're openly talking about would require the media to start telling people, hey, this is real, but nobody is. And I wonder why that is.
If you look at the history of American wars, Tucker, over the last several decades, they're incredibly similar. The way they convince Americans to support U.S. involvement in a war is they personalize a particular leader, get us to hate that leader. Oh, Saddam Hussein in Iraq is a terrible guy. Bashar al-Assad in Syria is this tyrannical force. Mullah Omar in Afghanistan is somebody we have to go and take out. Gaddafi in Libya, our emotions get up and we say, yeah, we can't. Well, let's go take out these tyrants. And then, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars later and lives lost, polls always show that Americans come to realize that they regard those wars as a mistake. And the reason is they realize that no benefits came to the United States and American citizens by virtue of U.S. involvement in those wars. So let's apply that framework here. The consensus in Washington is that we are closer to the use of nuclear weapons than at any time since the Cuban Missile Crisis 60 years ago. There is a very real threat of a nuclear exchange or even a direct confrontation with Russia and the United States. And over what? Over who governs and rules not even Ukraine, but the Donbass, the eastern region in Ukraine, where a majority of people actually identify as ethnic Russians and want to be part of Russia. And yet there's almost no debate over whether we should be sending huge amounts of money there and risking the lives of American citizens through the possibility of a nuclear war, because everyone knows that the minute you step up and step out of line, there's a horde of people ready to call you unpatriotic or a traitor or an admirer of Vladimir Putin, as I know is being done with our very segment right this minute by all those Media Matter people and other people online. So it's a really repressive atmosphere, and it's squashing a debate that we absolutely have to have.
But we're losing track of reality. If a nation has nuclear weapons and you believe even theoretically they might use them, you have to treat that nation differently. You may not want to. It may be unfair, but that's why nations seek nuclear weapons, because you can't boss them around. If you ignore the possibility that your entire population could be killed, you are not fit for leadership because you're insane. And it feels like our leaders are right there. They're insane.
I think there's almost this sense that has been purposely cultivated to believe that the use of nuclear weapons really isn't a realistic possibility, even though we have had the use of nuclear weapons in our in the last century when the U.S. did it in Japan for World War II. And we came very close on at least two or three occasions, the U.S. and Russia did, these very same countries, to exchanging nuclear weapons and risking nuclear annihilation, including in the Cuban Missile Crisis, because the U.S. felt that the Russian presence over the border in Cuba was so threatening that we were going to have a nuclear war over it. That's how Russia sees what's happening in Ukraine right across their border. It is madness to assume that for Russia, what is an existential war, if they actually start losing it or NATO really starts escalating as we've been doing, that the chances of Vladimir Putin using nuclear weapons is zero. This is a dangerous delusion that I think a lot of people are operating under.
That's totally, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Let me just ask you, since you were in Brazil, we spoke to you for our documentary there, and at the time we were in Rio, and really up until about 20 minutes ago, we were told that Bolsonaro was going to get smoked yesterday in the national election. That didn't seem to happen. What is the state of that race right now?
I've never seen polling data and polling science collapse and be as humiliated as it was in Brazil. They didn't just get the presidential race radically wrong, but other races they got wrong by 20 or 30 points, always in favor of the Brazilian left and against the Bolsonarista. I would say now there's a runoff between Lula, the left-wing candidate, and Bolsonaro. I would put Lula as the favorite. He did come in first by 4 or 5 points. But even if Bolsonaro loses, Bolsonarismo, the force, that the movement that he created, is incredibly powerful. The biggest party in the House and the Senate. They have governorships of the key states, and none of the polling data or the Brazilian media predicted that because they wanted, I think, to manipulate the outcome of the election through these fraudulent polling, or at the very least, polling that's radically wrong. So we'll see what happens on October 30th when the runoff takes place.
Yeah, not only in Brazil. Glenn, I want to hit you with breaking news here. So this is a Fox News story. Air raid sirens blaring across Tokyo, obviously the biggest city in the world, in Japan. Government there warning that North Korea has apparently fired a ballistic missile into Japanese airspace. The Japanese in Tokyo being instructed to shelter indoors immediately. Of course, I believe our vice president was just in South Korea. Glenn, what do you make of this?
I mean, it's hard to analyze the specific event since it just happened, but what I will use it for is to, again, say that when you start talking about things like major countries using long-range missiles, a lot of times the reason escalation happens isn't even because the countries want it to, but because when hostilities are intensified enough, miscommunication and misperception happen. That's why when you get involved in a war like the one in Ukraine, things are incredibly dangerous. The world is a dangerous place. These weapons can kill hundreds of millions of people at once, and we are playing with fire, Tucker, by not even being willing to debate this out of fear that we're going to be called names. And I think it's crucial that we recognize the importance of it.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right. I mean, it's our job to say what we think is true regardless. So we're looking at pictures right now of air raid sirens in Tokyo. Certainly all of this adds up, at least at first glance, to a world in turmoil that is in some very deep way resetting, you know, those post-war norms and institutions that we often hear the foreign policy people describe seem to be collapsing to some extent around the world.
Yeah, you know, I think it's pretty ironic that for all the accusations about Donald Trump, that he was a Kremlin agent, that he was willing to hand over the world to Vladimir Putin, it is true that none of these things happened during the Trump administration. The Russians annexed Crimea under President Obama. They invaded Georgia under President Bush. Nothing happened during the Trump years with all of this kind of instability, and now we're seeing it again. And I think the reason in part is because people look at Joe Biden and know that he's a doddering leader who has clearly lost much, if not most, of his mental capacity. And when you see a leader like that, a lot of countries around the world see that as a signal to start exploiting the situation for their own interests. I believe that's absolutely a factor.
That's totally, it's the drunk stepdad, do what you want. No, it's total. It's completely right. Glenn Greenwald, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Appreciate it.
Great to be with you, Tucker. Thanks.
Thank you. So it was 2 years almost exactly, it was October of 2020 that we sat down with a man called Tony Bobulinski, who had been a business partner of the Biden family, and he showed us concrete evidence that Joe Biden was involved in these business dealings, that his family was selling his political influence as vice president to the Chinese government in return for money. So since that interview, which was suppressed, we have learned a lot more about why so many Americans never heard that story. Mark Zuckerberg, the founder and CEO of Facebook, confirmed that the FBI pushed Facebook to bury that story. In other words, the FBI became directly involved in a presidential election on behalf of the Democratic candidate. So we decided it was a very good time to go back and speak to Tony Bobulinski again, at length, for a full hour. It was a remarkable interview. It's going to air tomorrow night for the bulk of the show. One of the questions that we had for him, did the FBI agent assigned to investigate your claims ever follow up with you? And this response, we had this conversation just a moment ago, tells you everything. Watch this.
Tim Tebow, in his last discussion with my legal counsel, was, listen, we know Tony's cooperating. We appreciate all the information he's provided. We will follow up with you. We're definitely going to have him come in for a follow-up interview or spend some more time on this. And I haven't heard from him since.
At all?
No. Nor have my lawyers.
No communication whatsoever?
No.
Since before the 2020 election?
Correct.
That's shocking.
Shocking, yeah, that would be one adjective.
So that full interview with Tony Bobulinski, which is fascinating and in some ways more shocking than the first interview we did with him 2 years ago, airs tomorrow night right here, 8 p.m. on the Fox News channel. So it has also been, since we keep track of anniversaries, 5 years since the largest mass shooting in American history. It happened October 1st, 2017 at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. So we decided to go out to Las Vegas and visit the scene.
Fox News alert right now. Horror unfolding overnight in Las Vegas.
It was 5 years ago this week, October 1st, 2017, that police say a man in his 60s called Stephen Paddock smashed out the window of his hotel room on the 32nd floor of the building right behind us, the Mandalay Bay, and rained rifle rounds down on a crowd of concertgoers. They were there for a country music festival. Jason Aldean was performing on stage 400 yards from Paddock's window. Police say Paddock continued to fire until he shot himself to death. And that's how they found him when they breached the door and entered his room. In the course of those moments, Paddock committed not simply a horrible crime, but by some measures, the most horrible crime in American history, the largest mass shooting ever recorded in this country. 60 people murdered, 850 injured. We covered this when it happened. Every media outlet did.
Despite a lengthy and expensive investigation, a huge number of unanswered questions, some of them the most basic questions about that shooting, remain unanswered.
But then in the days after the crime, questions emerged. Who was Stephen Paddock? He had no criminal record. He had no obvious political motive. In fact, he had no obvious motive of any kind.
What we know is Stephen Paddock is a man who spent decades acquiring weapons and ammo and living a secret life, much of which would never be fully understood.
Could he have done this alone? The circumstantial evidence suggested possibly, but possibly not. How did he get so many firearms and so much ammunition into a hotel room without being seen?
What do you see?
An armory.
An armory.
So many guns, so many magazines, stacks and stacks of magazines everywhere.
And witnesses. Where were they? At least one fled to Mexico. So questions emerged in the course
of the investigation into this crime.
You look at the weapon obtaining, the different amounts of tannerite available. Do you think this was all accomplished on his own?
But here's what makes it different, and this is why we're in Las Vegas right now. Those questions were never answered. The local authorities and the federal authorities never provided any sort of explanation for why Stephen Paddock, a man again with no criminal record, would have committed a mass murder. And to this day, it is very difficult to get even the most basic questions answered about this.
What we have been able to answer are the questions of who, what, when, where, and how. What we have not been able to definitively answer is the why Stephen Paddock committed this act.
So of course, in the absence of facts, conspiracy theories emerged. And they were quickly swatted away and pronounced ridiculous. But the central question, why, was never answered. And we think that's an essential question. And we think we have a right to ask it. We're not alleging anything. We don't even have a coherent theory as to what might have happened. But it's clear that the answers that we got from the federal government were completely inadequate. This is the largest mass shooting in American history. Someone should be paying attention. We're going to stay on it to the extent we can. Well, for 2 years, you've heard nonstop about COVID. You probably haven't heard about a much more widespread health crisis, one that affects most men in this country. In a moment, we'll show you a first look of our new documentary on that topic. Also, the same company involved in Wuhan bat research just got another taxpayer grant because you can't make any of this up. We'll tell you who's behind it, but you probably already guessed. We'll be right back.
$11 a month really calls upon Americans, everyday Americans, that can chip in and be a part of a promise that the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has made.
I live two lives. I live one life in a chair, and I live one life on my prosthetics. To be comfortable as an amputee, as myself, in my home, it's priceless.
The issue that I deal with on a daily basis, I don't have to worry. It allows me more time with my family. It allows me more time with my kids.
What did it mean to get the house on 9/11?
I mean, that was the starting stone of my journey, pretty much. It helped me kick weight, helped me get motivation again back in my life.
Daniel, he loved to serve. He loved being a dad. He loved being a husband. He was killed on his first deployment in Afghanistan. An IED just went off.
My husband lost his life to cancer. It was evidence that he was exposed to chemicals in Iraq. Having my mortgage paid off is just giving me the freedom to go and continue to fight. I will always preach what a burn pit is. Every single day there's someone new that I talk to.
It comes out of all of you how much you loved your husbands.
My husband is Jonathan Robert Farmer. He did 10 total tours, 7 combat and 3 operations. The suicide bomber stood right next to my husband. The worst day of my life.
You spend $11 to Tunnel to Towers, it won't be wasted.
We're never going to forget. We're going to always remember. This is the way to remember.
T2T is that foundation to give them a solid foundation to start building again.
That's how we build strong communities. I think that's why they should give the Tunnel to Towers, because it's making stronger people that in turn build stronger communities.
I'm a part of the family now.
The mortgage-free smart home from Tunnel to Towers has allowed me to be part of my family.
You can help provide mortgage-free homes for Gold Star families for just $11 a month. Go to T2T.org.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to announce the original My Slippers are back in all sizes and styles. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen now. Use your promo code and you'll get your very own My Slippers for only $49.98. That's $90 off and the biggest savings ever. What makes My Slippers different is my exclusive four-layer design that you won't find in any other slippers. My Slippers' patented layers make them ultra-comfortable, extremely durable, and they help reduce stress on your feet. Not only that, My Slippers make the best gifts ever. Get them for your friends, your family, your neighbors, everyone you know. And now you can get them for the lowest prices ever, only $49.98. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen now. Use that promo code to get your very own My Slippers for only $49.98. That's $90 off and the biggest savings ever. Please order now.
I feel stronger. I just feel healthier.
My blood pressure is healthy.
And I find I have more energy through the day.
Why are so many people giving 5-star reviews to our Superbeats Heart Chews?
Because Superbeats are nature's heart-healthy secret. They're a really simple thing you can do to help promote more energy and support healthy blood pressure.
Superbeats Heart Chews give you the antioxidants you need to help promote normal blood pressure nearly 2 times more effectively than a healthy lifestyle alone. That's why Superbeats is the top-selling superfood brand at GNC. Find out how you can get a free 30 days of Heart Chews plus free shipping with your first order by calling or going to foxchews.com. But that's not all. Use discount code FOXVIP and get an extra 20% off.
This Superbeats offer isn't available in stores. And listen, you have nothing to lose because it's guaranteed. So do something good for your blood pressure and your energy.
Don't miss out on this exclusive Fox News offer. Act now.
Hi, I'm Attorney Don McCary, a proud veteran who's been helping Marines and their families for decades. By now, I'm sure you've heard the news about Camp Lejeune and the new law which allows victims to file for compensation. This is different than your veteran's disability claim. There's a lot of confusing information out there, so I've put together a dedicated team to answer your questions and to take your calls.
Call 800-800-2088. That's 800-800-2088. Call right now.
Hi, my name's Steve. I lost 138 pounds on Golo, and I kept it off. Golo has changed my life in so many ways. Before, I was over 300 pounds. Now, I literally have the ability to take a shirt off and go out in the sun, where I would have never done that before. Try Golo. It works.
Wherever news breaks.
These situations only continue to worsen.
We're bringing you the stories from the front lines.
We're on patrol with the Taliban.
A sad morning here near La Jolla, Texas.
Fox News Channel. America is watching.
It's really one of the most amazing stories of the last decade, but like most of the real stories, it's been ignored and suppressed. And here it is. Just before COVID began spreading around the world and shutting the world down, a researcher called Peter Daszak bragged about manipulating coronaviruses in a lab. Now, at the time, Daszak's nonprofit called EcoHealth Alliance was being funded by Tony Fauci's agency, the U.S. government, your tax dollars, to conduct these experiments.
Coronaviruses are pretty good. I mean, you're a virologist, you know all this stuff, but you can manipulate them in the lab pretty easily. It's just spike protein drives a lot of what happens with the coronavirus, zoonotic risk. So you can get the sequence, you can build the protein, and we work with Ralph Barrick at UNC to do this, insert it into the backbone of another virus and do some work in the lab.
Now, since that interview, we have learned that it is very possible, indeed it's likely, that coronavirus, COVID, leaked from a lab in Wuhan. In fact, the same lab where Peter Daszak was conducting experiments on bat coronaviruses. Now, at the very least, if you're not going to send the FBI to his house, so many Americans are getting the FBI sent to their house, so maybe the Biden administration would think of doing that, but no. At the very least, the administration might pause before sending more money to EcoHealth Alliance, knowing what we know. Oh, but no. The National Institutes of Health have just issued a new grant to the research firm EcoHealth Alliance. The point of the grant, again, you can't make this up, to study bat coronaviruses. Alex Berenson is, of course, writing on Substack. He's the author of Pandemia, How Coronavirus Hysteria Took Over Our Government, Rights and Lives. Alex Berenson's been the man that we go to for more than 2 years now for a reality check on all of this. He joins us tonight. Alex, thanks a lot for coming on. It's hard to believe. I'm reading the script. I think this can't really be happening. Is it actually happening?
Yeah, it's actually happening. This time the research will be in Laos, Myanmar, and in Thailand, I believe. So, but aside from that, it's basically the same research that they were doing in China in the years leading up to SARS-CoV-2's emergence. Yes.
May I ask an obvious and never-asked question? Why wouldn't you do this research in the United States?
Well,
I mean,
the bats are there. And so if you're going to – and, you know, you have to actually, like, capture the bats and get whatever viruses that, you know, they're carrying in order to perform the research. Now, here's – look, I think you know, and I think my readers know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, okay? But – it's hard to understand why the NIH is doing this. They know there's going to be blowback here, okay? They know that as soon as you talk about this or I talk about this, there's going to be blowback here. So there's really only two reasons that I can think of that they would do this. One is it's just a pure power play. It's just to say to Rand Paul and Tucker Carlson, we don't care what you think. This guy's our guy, and we're going to continue to fund him. The other is a bit darker, which is, you know, there's this community of virologists out there that won't admit that this probably came out of a lab, and they continue to insist on natural origins, that somehow this jumped from a bat to a human or from a bat to a you know, an intermediate animal to a human. And the problem is they've never been able to find a precursor virus, okay? It is quite possible that in a year, Peter Daszak's people are going to come out of those caves with what they claim is the precursor virus. And even if none of us believe them, it will just throw more smoke up and make it harder to prove that the lab leak is what really happened.
Wow, that is a really interesting theory, and that never would have occurred to me, and that doesn't sound unlikely.
Unfortunately plausible, right?
Yeah, it is. I'm trying to process it. Really smart. I'm going to think about that tomorrow morning when I wake up. Alex Berenson, thank you very much. So there is a huge health crisis in this country, ongoing, has been for decades. It's getting no attention. It's affecting everything else, and it has to do with testosterone levels. Testosterone levels in American men are collapsing. So that affects everything else. When you change the hormones in someone's body, you change that person. It also means pretty hard to reproduce, to continue the species, if testosterone is going away. So we looked into this for a documentary from a Tucker Carlson original series called The End of Men. Here's a first look at what we found. Testosterone levels in American men are declining by about 10% per decade, 1% a year. Sperm counts have plummeted 50% in the last 40 years. If that trend continues, we won't simply be weaker than our grandfathers. We won't have grandchildren of our own. Civilizational decline is not inevitable. We don't have to be the spectators of our own defeat. We choose this road, not just for ourselves, but for our children. So we have a responsibility to enter into the arena and make America healthy again. We just need the motivation. The end of men. You're not supposed to care about that, but we fervently do, and you should too. It's out Wednesday on Fox Nation. Well, we have been worried for, well, more than a year now on this show about vaccine side effects, in particular myocarditis, and in particular the effect of this vaccine on children. And unfortunately, it's entirely real. We hate to say that, but it's true. In a moment, we're going to speak to a mother whose son developed very serious heart problems, myocarditis, after taking the shot. That's straight ahead.
As a man, we're designed to do hard things.
Testosterone levels are declining 10% per decade. Chemical and pharmaceutical companies are poisoning us, but you're not allowed to notice this is happening.
This is a chemical warfare on our country.
You have to have strong men. If you don't, it's not going to go well.
What's wrong with our food is that not food and reliant on industrial processes.
For many of these compounds, there's clear evidence that some of these chemicals cause problems with reproduction.
Would you recommend young men to tan their balls?
To what?
We need a renaissance.
A country is as strong, really, as its citizens.
No one in Washington seems interested at all. It's a joke to them.
If men can't reproduce, then the world's over.
We're headed for a calamity.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I want to give each and every one of you one last chance to get your very own MyPillow Percale bed sheets. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code and you'll get the lowest prices ever. For example, you get my best-selling queen size, regular $89.98, now only $39.98. Percale is a type of weave that gives you that cool, crisp feel. These bed sheets are available in a variety of colors. They're durable and they come with deep pockets that fit over any mattress. They're absolutely amazing. So go to MyPillow.com or call that number on your screen now. Use your promo code to get my King Size Split Kings or California Kings for only $49.98. Queen Size and RV Queens, only $39.98. Full Size for $34.98. Or Twin and Twin XL for only $29.98. We have limited quantities, and once they're gone, they're gone. So order now.
Growing older is not for the faint of heart. You have to still wake up every morning with a pulse. And if you got one of those, you got a purpose. And your purpose is to stay as healthy as you can for the rest of your life, for the people you love and the people that love you. You know when you start up a motorcycle and you hear it go vroom, vroom, vroom when it takes off? I was losing that. I was losing my energy, like everybody does as they grow older. And I don't want to be tired. I don't want to look tired, and I don't want to be tired. I started using Balance of Nature about a year and a half ago. Noticed the results immediately, and I went, oh my gosh, this works. This is what I've been missing all my life. I'm loving life, actually, more than I ever, ever have. I missed my Vava Voom. I got it back.
Start your journey to better health by going to balanceofnature.com. And don't forget to use discount code KLG.
Hi, I'm Attorney Don McCary, a proud veteran who's been helping Marines and their families for decades. By now, I'm sure you've heard the news about Camp Lejeune and the new law which allows victims to file for compensation. This is different than your veteran's disability claim. There's a lot of confusing information out there, so I've put together a dedicated team to answer your questions and to take your calls.
Call 800-800-2088. That's 800-800-2088. Call right now.
A heart attack? Do they have life insurance?
No.
But we have life insurance. John.
I'm trying to find something we can afford.
Fortunately, in only a few minutes, SelectQuote found John a $500,000 policy for only $29 a month. And his wife, Anne, a $500,000 policy for only $21 a month. Go to SelectQuote.com now and get the insurance your family needs
at a price you can afford. SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
When you can't watch, listen. Get the latest news, business, and news headlines on SiriusXM. Anytime, anywhere. Fox News Audio on SiriusXM. America is listening. Countdown to the midterms.
With so much at stake, it is so important for conservatives to be really clear about where they stand.
John Kennedy has critical insight for voters on Hannity.
Introducing Anilon X, the only nonstick engineered for flavor with the exclusive SearTech technology. A unique base and a stainless steel mesh that ordinary nonstick pans don't have. Engineered to keep oil in the middle of the pan, directly under food, caramelizing and searing better. To create the flavors that stop conversations. Shop now and get free shipping at AnilonX.com.
High blood pressure is known as the silent killer, and right now, it's more dangerous than ever before. But did you know you can lower the risk naturally? Introducing Respirit, the first ever FDA-cleared medical device clinically proven to lower blood pressure.
The results I got from using Respirit were astounding. The blood pressure this morning was 110 over 79.
Respirit's patented technology continuously monitors and guides your breathing into the therapeutic zone, causing the muscles surrounding the small blood vessels to relax so blood flows more freely and blood pressure is reduced. Multiple clinical trials report 82% of Respirit users reduced high blood pressure, and Respirit is the only American Heart Association recommended device for lowering blood pressure. We are so sure that Respirit will work for you, we guarantee it. If you don't lower your blood pressure in 60 days, you'll get your money back.
It's the best investment I've ever made in my life.
To watch a product demonstration or to buy, go to Respirit.com now.
So shortly after the first COVID vaccines came out and were administered, people started reporting weird side effects, but they were immediately shouted down and called science deniers. And then data emerged, actual data, showing that the vaccine appeared to cause an increased risk of heart inflammation, very serious heart inflammation called myocarditis. And then researchers in Israel got even closer to the truth and found, quote, a probable link between receiving the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine and the appearance of myocarditis among men aged 16 to 30. But no one seemed to care. People were being very hurt, killed. But the vaccines were never halted or slowed down. And as a result, many young people may have developed very serious, debilitating heart problems. Emily Achinayaka says that her 14-year-old son is one of these. She's a mother. Her son developed myocarditis after taking the shot. Emily joins us tonight. Emily, I appreciate your coming on, and I know that there's quite a bit of pressure not to talk about this, so we're grateful that you're willing to. Tell us your son's experience, if you would.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Following his second dose, he woke up in the middle of the night with chest pain. We had known that this was a possibility, just hearing signals out of Israel. So immediately took him to the emergency room where his troponin was elevated, his EKG was abnormal. Oh. And long story short, he was admitted to the acute cardiac floor. Scariest moments of my life, of course. His troponin continued to increase as we were on, during our stay. So he stayed 4 days and then had months of inactivity and follow-ups with different specialists, and it's been life-altering for us.
Yeah, well, it's the nightmare, considering 14-year-old boys don't typically have heart problems, and your son was healthy, I believe, before taking this vaccine. So we have an entire medical establishment designed to help people like you. What was the reaction that you got when you said my son had his heart damaged by a COVID vaccine?
You're a liar, or you're censored on Twitter. I don't know if you have the pictures of my son, but I was very pro-vaccination,
yes.
One of the first out of the gate. And
yes.
Then I was ostracized because my son was injured, no fault of my own. And it's been an eye-opening experience. Hurtful.
So it's a nightmare. I don't know how else to describe it. It's actually making my palms sweat thinking about it. But you were for vaccines. You were not an anti-vaxxer, as they say. You were. This was all voluntary, and when there was a downside to it and your son was almost killed by it, you were attacked.
Right. When this began on my Twitter feed, sharing pictures of my son getting vaccinated, how excited I was. And then, you know, unfortunately, he was one that had the side effect or the adverse event. And when I shared that, it was met with, "You're a liar." I was actually censored on social media, blocked by people. The medical community has kind of pushed me to the side before they embraced me. I'm talking about on social media.
Yeah.
And it's just, you do the right thing, and then you're pushed to the side and left all alone, and it's just been a horrible experience. Nothing I could have ever imagined.
So many people have been killed or injured irreparably, and it's so upsetting. Ah, I appreciate the bravery it takes to say this in public. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Giorgia Meloni is about to become the next prime minister of Italy. The vote is in. Her party won an overwhelming victory. Our next guest attended the conference on Italian conservatism following that victory. Gladden Papin is a professor of politics at the University of Dallas, one of the rare ones. He joins us from Budapest, Hungary, to assess what this means. Professor, thank you so much for coming on. This seems like a big deal in the United States. You have got a much better perspective. What do you think this means?
Great to be here, Tucker. Yeah, I just got in from Rome, spoke at the Italian Conservatism Conference. There was this huge victory you mentioned of the conservative coalition led by Giorgia Meloni and Fratelli d'Italia. The Italian people have spoken, and they have elected a solidly conservative government. You know, for decades, left liberals have had this kind of psyop that history is only moving in one direction, that it's only producing more and more liberalism. And when there were conservative governments, you know, we have one here in Hungary, with these conservative governments in Central Europe, they could sort of dismiss that and say, well, you know, Hungary has its unique way, but the heart of Europe is not going to go in this direction. Italy was a founding member of the European Union. It's the third largest economy in Europe. So for Italy to swing to the right, the importance of that absolutely cannot be overestimated. The liberal ruling classes really didn't want people to notice what was going on there. There's been a kind of discontented silent majority for a while that's been divided among a number of different conservative parties. But Italy was really hit hard by the migrant crisis in recent years. It's really stagnated economically. Salaries haven't gone up in about 30 years, something like that. So there was a lot of elements there to be put together into a conservative victory, and that's now come about.
They've been running a psyop that history only moves to the left, and I'm stealing that line because it's absolutely the truest thing. Gladden Papin, thank you. More news after the break. Kamala Harris update.
The talk, which is now taking a hiatus.
When co-host Sharon Osbourne defended Piers Morgan over Meghan Markle.
Sharon Osbourne was fired from The Talk. Her exit from The Talk made headlines around the world.
Growing up, my father's family were absolutely penniless.
It was a new format for television.
She takes her step off the stage. She collapses.
No one should have ever gone through what she went through.
Why are you doing this to me?
They literally made her ask that question.
Cheryl was stabbing me in the back.
It was so unfair that she was labeled something that she wasn't.
The punishment doesn't fit the crime because there was no crime.
You don't know anything about me. I say when I'm done. Not them.
Have you or anyone you know ever been stationed at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune? Camp Lejeune's water was contaminated by fuel leaks. If you had any water contact while at Camp Lejeune and been diagnosed with cancer or Parkinson's disease, you may be entitled to compensation. As a Marine who was stationed at Camp Lejeune myself for 4 years, this cause hits close to home. So if you've been stationed or visited Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune and have cancer or Parkinson's, visit CampLejeuneInjury.com. Morgan & Morgan, for the veterans.
You be the judge. Nutrisystem has answered the bell with menu items that are new for 2022. Our most satisfying weight loss plan ever, including new premium meals that are big and filling with up to 30 grams of protein.
I jumped right in and lost 127 pounds.
The new skillet meals are amazing.
And the extra protein gives you a ton of energy.
And we're bringing the taste of your favorite restaurant meals right to your home. Perfectly portioned with half the calories.
I can eat a burrito. I get to satisfy my cravings.
The secret is science based on the latest discoveries. A high-protein, low-glycemic approach to help keep your blood sugar level steady as you lose weight. Just like always, you get your meals and snacks delivered free with a money-back guarantee. Act now and save big with 50% off all plans.
I lost 40 pounds, 67 pounds.
55 pounds with Nutrisystem.
Go online or call 888-916-SIZE to get 50% off all plans.
23 years ago, long before ransomware, I founded PCmatic with my own money to make computers run faster. Today, PCmatic is a global cybersecurity leader recognized by the NIST Zero Trust Center of Excellence. And the SBA awarded PCmatic FedRAMP certification authorizing PCmatic to protect federal agencies. What does that mean? Simply put, PCmatic is federal grade. PCmatic has 5 patents and countless awards. And for as little as $50, PCmatic can protect up to 5 devices for 1 full year. PCmatic works on Windows, Windows servers, Macs, MacBooks, Android phones and tablets, and now PCmatic works on your iPhone and Linux servers. PCmatic is proudly made in America and protects homes, businesses, and government agencies, including the federal government and our military. For American-made, federal-grade cybersecurity that proactively stops ransomware, go to PCmatic.com.
If you're like I was, you're tired of worn-out plastic mats under your office chair. They dent and crack, and they're uncomfortable to roll on. I found a premium alternative, a glass chair mat by Vetrazza. I liked it so much, I bought the company. I'm George Pardo, president of Vetrazza. Our glass chair mats are made of super strong glass and protected with a nanotech coating, so you'll always get a smooth, easy glide. And they're beautiful. Tired of replacing plastic? I promise this is the last chair mat you'll need. And we give you a lifetime warranty. Comfort, style, durability. A Vetrazza glass chair mat will completely transform your workspace, home office or office office. We stock 18 popular sizes, and we ship free to anywhere in the lower 48. Get the look you deserve. I invite you to shop online at Vetrazza.com. Use promo code TV and save 10% on any glass chair mat at Vetrazza.com.
What if there was something that could reduce body fat, boost mood, get rid of wrinkles, and even make you feel decades younger? Interested?
Seravital can help bring your HGH levels closer to what you may have experienced in your 20s or 30s.
Seravital absolutely changed my life.
Now you can reverse the signs of aging with America's number one anti-aging therapy, Ceravital. Order now. It's absolutely risk-free. Go to TryCeraVital.com for your risk-free trial.
Kamala Harris goes where the disasters are. Often she causes them. She didn't cause the hurricane recently that crushed Florida, but she has a new plan to distribute relief, of course, on the basis of race. Watch.
It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making. We have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity.
So this is immoral. Not one thing ever in American life should be distributed on the basis of race, ever. However, as long as we're becoming a two-tiered society with a privileged class and an underclass, how about rewarding good behavior? Why not give priority to Americans who pay their taxes, follow the law, raise decent children or don't join gangs or sell drugs or spray paint things or shoot people? Why not try that for once? They'll never even consider it. Reminder, our full interview with Tony Bobulinski tomorrow, 8 p.m. for the hour. Before we go.
Entonces vamos a ver cuántas. Vean, cuántas, les voy a filtrar aquí por color.